Quick, choose a meal deal with McValue. The $5 McChicken meal deal, the $5 McDouble meal deal, or the new $6 Daily Double meal deal. Each with its own small fries, drink, and four-piece McNuggets. It's actually no rush. I'm just excited for McDonald's.
For a limited time only, prices and participation may vary. Not valid for McDelivery.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. NATO, the success of the 20th century. NATO came together in the moment of the threat of the Soviet Union and stood up to all of the vicissitudes of history as Europe rebuilt itself and as the Soviets continued to threat. Half of Germany was in Soviet hands and all of Eastern Europe. But the success was obvious when the Soviet Union fell apart and descended into history. Now the Russian threat, and NATO again stands up to the Russian aggression in Ukraine. But what is to be done about the threat not only of Moscow to Europe, but Beijing to Taiwan and all of East Asia? I welcome John Bolton, former ambassador to the United Nations from the United States, former national security advisor of the United States, writing most recently for the Wall Street Journal about NATO in Asia. John, this is such a good idea. I cheer it on. So who's against it? Good evening to you.
Good evening. Well, many NATO members support it. I think many in Asia are interested, whether it involves formal membership or something else. But the French are the ones who are most vigorously against it at the moment. I mean, they even objected at the recent NATO Vilnius summit to a proposal to establish just a liaison office in Tokyo. Now, that issue remains open for discussion, and it seems like a small point, but it's the sort of thing that really could give NATO a presence in Asia, learn a lot more about what the needs are, what the capabilities are, and be a model for other offices in other countries where we could get cooperation. I think more and more countries in NATO, as in the Indo-Pacific already, see the threat of the Russia-China axis, which has emerged, so that a war in Europe and Ukraine has a connection to a potential war in Asia between China and Taiwan. And I think countries want to make sure that they can get all the advantages of cooperation with NATO, which, after all, is the world's most successful political-military alliance.
France has a reputation of being an outlier. So France either dissenting or turning away is not a surprise. I'm keen on Berlin, however. That's a coalition government, and Olaf Scholz has been reluctant at all stages of the Ukraine involvement to come forward as the leader, which Germany is. It's the banking, it's the export, and it's the opinion leader of Europe. Where is Germany on an expanded NATO?
Well, they have mixed feelings. I mean, in Vilnius, the foreign minister from the Green Party said that Germany was not naive about China. But the Germans themselves, as you say, have not lived up to their commitments in Ukraine, and their leading economic role in Europe has been built in recent years in substantial part on extensive involvement in the Chinese market. But I think as more and more Europeans learn, as Americans have learned and are still learning about how China behaves economically using telecommunications companies like Huawei and ZTE as arms of the Chinese intelligence community, performing in a mercantilist fashion, even in the World Trade Organization, which should be a bastion of free trade, and the way they discriminate against foreign trade and investment. Economically, China's behaving in an effort to establish hegemony in international trade and business. And I think these economic concerns are directly related to the military concerns, which are very much on the minds of countries in the Indo-Pacific. There's an enormous amount of potential cooperation here, occasioned in part because of the Russia-China axis, which has emerged. China is said to be supplying weapons to Russia for the war in Ukraine, providing other support, buying a lot of Russian oil and gas. And if China took steps against Taiwan or another country in Asia, it would expect Russia to have its back too. So in the Indo-Pacific and Europe, many people see the point that it would benefit NATO and it would benefit our friends in Asia and South Asia to have more NATO involvement.
How did we get here, John? You write about underfunding, the assumption globalization was going to dominate the 21st century. Was that short-sightedness? Was that deliberate? Was that encouraged by China or Russia? Or we just naive. I want to judge a whole generation here, John, our generation.
Yeah, I think we were incredibly naive. I mean, there were people who wrote when the Soviet Union disintegrated, when we won the Cold War, that we had reached the end of history. People in Washington said, you'll remember the Clinton 1992 campaign said, it's the economy, stupid. And that they meant that domestically, but it applied internationally as well. We just didn't pay attention to what the Chinese were doing. They were concealing a lot of their activity from us. Deng Xiaoping had a famous saying, hide and bide. Hide your capabilities and bide your time. Well, China's not hiding anything now. They've stopped biding their time. We can see the threat. We're still learning. It's a massive whole of society threat. We're ahead of the curve compared to the Europeans, and one of our jobs is to make sure that Germany, France, and others see the nature of the Chinese threat really for the rest of the century. And I think if we can make them wake up to that, I think their reluctance to have NATO involved more heavily in Asia with our Asian partners hopefully will diminish.
India is the giant in population and very likely to dominate the 21st century. Where is India on the idea of extending NATO's umbrella?
Well, I think they've got a long way to go. You know, their historical pattern during the Cold War from the time of partition of British India in 1947 and Indian independence was heavy reliance on the then Soviet Union for high-tech weaponry and a variety of other things. They're still having trouble breaking that connection. But I think increasingly India sees that its principal adversary, China, is dependent on Russia and using the same weapons that Russia is selling to India. So, you know, at some point, India has got to look out for its own security interests. You know, the saying we have, when you come to a fork in the road, take it. India's got a fork coming up. We want them to choose closer relations with us, with Japan and others, and NATO in particular. And that is an issue to work on in the coming years.
There is reporting routinely now, John, that elements of the U.S. military, especially the Navy, expect China to attack sometime in these next years, months, within, you know, 50, 60 months, expecting an attack. And therefore, they are accelerating all their programs. What industrial base we have, what hardening of islands we can, what alliances we need in Oceania. Is Europe there? Does Europe understand the threat that the Navy does?
I don't think Europe is there yet. I think many in Eastern Europe who have confronted the reality of Russia's invasion of Ukraine have a real affinity for Taiwan. They see its vulnerability. And we are short on time. There's an excellent analysis that says China knows as its population peaks and begins to decline, the economy is re-centralized and therefore not growing as much, that ultimately its economy will begin to decline. And that means its ability to support an expansive military will decline. So for China, the moment may be now. And as you say, now means perhaps 4 or 5 years. But that's why our Navy is concerned, because, again, after the end of the Cold War, we allowed the Navy to shrink to a perilously low level. And it takes time to build the Navy back up. We really need a much accelerated program of naval building and really increases in our other military budgets, too.
And Tokyo, is Tokyo ready to lead in Asia? Can they overcome their reluctance to be military?
Well, they've got historical problems, obviously, because of World War II and other issues with much of Asia. But they have worked diplomatically to overcome that. And Prime Minister Kishida said recently that he planned over the next 5 years to double Japanese defense spending from 1% to 2% GDP, which would make Japan the third largest military in the world. So if they follow through on that, that'll be a significant addition to mutual defense in Asia against potential Chinese aggression.
John Bolton, former ambassador to the United Nations, former national security advisor, writing at the Wall Street Journal about NATO in Asia. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
Quick, choose a meal deal with McValue, the $5 McChicken meal deal, the $5 McDouble meal deal, or the new $6 Daily Double meal deal, each with its own small fries, drink, and four-piece McNuggets.
It's actually no rush. I'm just excited for McDonald's.
For a limited time only, prices and participation may vary, not valid for McDelivery.
This is Matt Rogers from Las Culturistas with Matt Rogers and Bowen Yang. This is Bowen Yang from Lost Culturistas with Matt Rogers and Bowen Yang.
Hey, Bowen. It's gift season.
Ugh, stressing me out. Why are the people I love so hard to shop for?
Probably because they only make boring gift guides that are totally uninspired. Except for the guide we made.
In partnership with Marshalls, where premium gifts meet incredible value.
It's giving gifts! With categories like best gifts for the mom whose idea of a sensible walking shoe is a stiletto.
Or best gifts for me that were so thoughtful I really shouldn't have.
Check out the guide on Marshalls.com.
And gift the good stuff at Marshalls.
When it comes to broccoli salad, Ohio, you got the secret ingredient on lock. Miracle Whip. Everyone from Toledo to Portsmouth knows that tangy zip. So here's to you for keeping it bold, keeping it zippy, and keeping Miracle Whip in all your favorite recipes. Buy now and get your tang on, Ohio.